Hey there, and welcome to LSAT Demon Daily. I'm Eric, teacher with LSAT Demon. Joining me is Callie. How are you doing today, Callie?
Pretty good. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks. A number of listeners write in to ask about questions about which schools to apply to, in picking which schools to apply to, generating a list of target schools. There's a lot out there, and we often give the general advice to just apply broadly. Just apply to a lot of schools. And I think that is true, but some listeners might want some more specifics on how we go about generating a list of target schools to apply to. So maybe we can kick things off by just sharing our own stories. Callie, how did you, maybe how many schools did you apply to, and how did you come up with that list?
Yeah, so I applied to 17. Which is a lot, but
I think that's exactly the same as me.
Awesome. Yeah. Great. Yeah. So I think that's a pretty, today is like a pretty common number for a lot of applicants. I am aware that there are financial, you know, ramifications of that. And sure. Something I found really helpful, of course, is signing up for that. What is it called? The referral?
Candidate referral service, I think.
Yeah. I mean, all your fee waivers will come from there, and you only have to pay the CAS fee, I believe, after that, which helped a lot, right? It reduced the cost by a lot. And even that, like if you are able to get an LSAC fee waiver, you get a ton of discounts from that as well. So I think, you know, so at the end of the day, applying to 17 schools wasn't that crazy of an idea. But at the same time, I think I definitely considered if you have a place that you want to practice, right? Like, or you have a place that you know you wouldn't want to go to law school to, for sure, like 100%. I personally don't see the reason like why you have to apply to them. But eventually, I think the idea of applying broadly stands true because of a certain reasons, right? Like a few reasons where you don't know what's going to happen, really. Like, I know a lot of people say it's just a numbers game. Sometimes it's not. It's really a big and mysterious process, and the admissions officer having a bad day or something. Like, you can't control which schools you get into a lot of times, and you know they're crafting a class as well. So sometimes you just don't fit into the criteria somehow. So just applying to a few will not guarantee you getting into the schools that you want. So I think it's better to have options, right? And also the reasons with like what we promote here with like scholarships, you're able to get scholarship offers from various schools if you're able to do that. And you can negotiate with those offers as well. So I think that's a really helpful point to bring up. So you're really considering multiple things, not just, of course, we only go to one school at the end, but I think there's certain reasoning off like behind why we apply broadly that's important for students to consider, and not just hearing that we say this and you know not actually understanding why.
Totally what you said is 100% correct. Like, even we do our best to predict what our outcomes might be based on old numbers, but also recognize that there is a human element to admissions, and a school that you might think you're a slam dunk for whatever reason, you're just not the right flavor for them when they look at your application, which is fine. That happens, which is why you want to give yourself the opportunity to get surprised on both ends, right? And I found this to be true. I was surprised by both schools that I didn't get into, or didn't get a great offer from, and also surprised by other schools where I got a better offer. So you want to allow both of those things to happen.
Just like the LSAT.
Just like the LSAT, absolutely. Maximize your attempt. Be ready to take it all five times. So when you were thinking about which schools to apply to, were there any characteristics that were most important to you? Were you looking at location? Were you looking at rank? At job outcomes? Like, what was your research into schools like?
Yeah, so for me, it was more straightforward because I didn't think like I wanted to devote all the energy to researching all the details of the schools before I get an offer from them. Of course, when you have to write the why essay, like that's important, but for some schools, it really is that, well, they kind of match my my like idea of like what an ideal school would be for me. Or I think instead of rankings, I do look at like, okay, what is the school like in terms of their like the class that they're admitting, right? You know, their LSAT and GPA mediums. I think that that's important, right? Like, are you able to have an idea of like where you stand in terms of your numbers with other people?
And you can find those numbers, by the way, on the school's ABA 509 reports. The easiest way for me to access them, which I continue to do, is just use the scholarship estimator on the Daemon, where there's links to all the ABA 509 report PDFs, and they have their medians. Schools have their median scores listed there. So just FYI.
Yeah, I think that's really important because then you know, oh, is this a school that admit a lot of people like me, right, in terms of my numbers? Or is this a school that, you know, I might have to try pretty hard to get in? Or is this a school that I could potentially get a great scholarship from? Of course, there's no guarantee. The process is truly holistic. But I think it's good to just look at that for, you know, general metrics, and have a good amount of all three categories. So I had some schools where I'm like, I don't know, well, but still, I'm gonna shoot my shot, right? And I have the middle section where I feel like, okay, I'm comfortable here. And then there's also like schools that I'm like, maybe I'm considering a location as well. Like I'd like to stay in California. So even though maybe there's schools that I feel like I would not necessarily feel like that's the best option or they have the best ranking or prestige or whatever, I like this location, so you know, I'm just gonna see if I can get an offer and then decide by then. So I think, you know, as we talked about, that's about the diversification of the applications, and I think going about it in that way would be good. What do you think? Do you think there's a proportion of like schools that you should apply to based on what you think you're? I mean, that's such a vague idea, but like
Yeah, I
guess
don't
it's
think there's a hard rule. I agree, the what we would commonly call your safety schools, your target schools, and your reach schools. It's good to have a healthy chunk of all three of those. And I would determine what I thought was a safety, a target, or a reach school based on the scholarship estimator on the Daemon, based on looking at the different schools' profiles at lsd.law, looking at their numbers on 509 reports, and just trying to generate a sense of how I ranked as a candidate based on those different resources. And yeah, I probably had like, I don't know, four or five schools that were truly like reach schools for me, and then probably like somewhere between 10 to 12 that were pretty solidly target schools, and then a couple more that were might call safety schools was kind of my distribution. A lot of what I was looking at was geography. There were schools that I knew just were never going to work based on geography for me, based on what was realistic for my wife's career as we were contemplating moving somewhere else, and also the idea of wanting to stay in California like you. And I think that is an important thing for people to take into account when building their list of schools, is geography really does matter, particularly outside of the top law schools. Unless you're going to one of those top schools and you're looking outside of the T14, generally speaking, where you go to school is where you want to practice. There are not many schools where you can just go there and then work anywhere in the country. So geography will need to be a big consideration when you're picking the schools that you apply to. And I think that was basically it. Having that pretty broad list of those schools, really not applying to schools that I was legitimately never going to go to, not wasting my time with that, having a range of reach to safety schools. And that's what I did. Would you say that there's anything that doesn't matter? Like, is there anything that you hear students talking about when they consider law schools that you think should not matter?
I think instead of should not matter, I think people do. I hear students consider so much about, oh, like this is such a reach that I shouldn't apply. I tend to be discouraging of that idea because Well, yes, maybe your offset GPA isn't quite there or something, but that's all you're seeing, right? You don't really know how you stand in terms of your soft and other aspects of your application compared to other candidates. If you that's a school that you would seriously consider going, right? Like as you said, if geographically speaking and like other factors considered, you would go, and that's something that you really want. And there's no financial, burden for you to apply. I'm more encouraging of people applying to such so-called reach schools, just because you really don't know what's happening in that process. And I hear very surprising results from people, and they're pleasantly surprised. And I think that's, something to not like exactly hope for, but to shoot your shot on in moderation, I guess. Of course, you don't want to apply only to schools that like are way above your medians, but I mean their medians were way above yours. But I think in some ways I hear too many people say that I wouldn't apply ever to certain schools. And I'm like, you know what? You don't know that, right? Give them a
Sure.
chance to reject you.
Yeah. How much should we care about the rankings?
I genuinely think I think Nathan talked about this with the rule of what's the
Yeah,
rule?
100% rule.
Yeah. So I think of course if you're interested in that, you can check out that episode. But I think that's a good rule to just consider. Most of the time, I don't think rankings matters that much. It's just kind of a reference point that you can think of. But eventually, end of the day, you're the one who, if you're going to school that's full of people who only want to go to big law and you want to do something completely different, and they don't even have the area of law, like they don't even have animal law, and you want to do animal law, like that doesn't make sense, right? No matter how well ranked compared to the other school that you're applying to. So yeah, I think it definitely, when you have specific interests or geographic requirements, then rankings matter way less. But I think for me, it's less of a concern. Like I'm more open in terms of like practice areas and geographic like concerns. So yeah, for me, rankings have slightly more weight, but eventually end of the day, right? We're looking at things that fit us the most. So what do you think?
Yeah, I think what you said, probably there's an over-reliance on the rankings when determining which schools to apply to, and maybe which schools to attend. I also think one thing that we've discussed on other podcasts is practice area rankings. Don't get too caught up on those. I don't think they really mean anything. If you're deciding whether or not to apply to one school versus the other because one has a higher ranking in environmental law, those numbers, I think, are way less meaningful than the schools would have you believe. So don't get too caught up on those.
For sure. Yeah. But I think I only mentioned because like if you know exactly what you want to practice and the school doesn't even offer that program, or like they have less like resources in that, way less resources in that, then that's something to consider for sure. But I
Sure.
think the general rankings in the practice areas are pretty dumb and, doesn't do anything. But yeah.
Yep. Well, thanks. I think that's it. The last thing that I will say to those of you building your school list right now is be open to changing your mind or be open to surprises, to learning new things, because you will continue to learn new things and have new information become available as you go throughout this process. You might have your dream school right now. You might have one or two schools that you think, oh, that's where I need to go. I got to make it in there. Just be open to that changing, because it very easily can.
Yeah, and I agree. I know a lot of people who like went to a school that wasn't their dream school or wasn't even in their primary consideration, and they like loved it. And right, like most people thrive in law schools like that they didn't think that they were going to enjoy. So I think that's like completely normal thing that can happen. And also like I know a lot of like currently this is what I'm experiencing too. Like I've not seriously considered one school, but because I got in, I'm taking a deeper look and I'm actually getting more interested. They're attending their admitted student weekends and things like that. It can change your mind very drastically. Like, this is my group, right? Like, these are the people that I want to hang out with. This is the building I want to study in. This is the city I'd like to be in. These are things that you can't experience when you're just applying, right? Like, you don't have the resources to look at each of the schools that you're applying to. But once you get the offer, right, like, things can really change.
Totally. Well, thanks, Callie. This was great.
Yeah, thank you, Eric.
All right. Email daily at lsatdemon.com if you'd like to ask us a question or share some LSAT or law school admissions news. Thanks for listening.